Hello, it's Dr. Jane here with another 10-minute positive mental health podcast. Today, I wanted to talk about depression. Now, this is a condition that an awful lot of people suffer from. And sometimes people, there's various states of depression. There's, you know, from one end of the scale where it's kind of catatonic depression, where people will just sit and that's it, and nothing else can happen in their lives, to the, you know, the low mood. We often kind of call depression low mood these days. And sometimes it can just be that, and it can just be a relatively short thing. But, you know, when you're in the kind of a low mood state, a low depressed, it's quite a hard word. And that's why people, you know, that's why the term low mood has suddenly become a little bit more popular to describe what's going on. But if you're feeling flat, if you're feeling completely lack of energy, if you feel hopeless, that's, you know, one of the key characteristics of being depressed. There's lots of symptoms which I'm sure you're very familiar with. But, you know, if you're not feeling how you would like to feel, and you know it's different, and there is a flatness to you, and a sense of hopelessness, and, you know, sometimes helplessness as well, but generally hopelessness, that you don't see beyond, people often describe it as being, you know, they use the word black a lot, you know, like Winston Churchill used to use his black dog. People talk about being in a black hole. These are, this is often very characteristic of depression. So I'm going to talk about a lady I saw fairly recently. We'll call her Tilly. Now, she was a mum. She was in her mid-30s. She had two children. And to be honest, she'd struggled her entire life. She had, you know, a good marriage. She'd, you know, she was happily married. She used to say that her husband was depressed as well. I never met her husband, but from what she said about him, you know, I think he had issues with depression, but I don't think he was like she was. But I think sometimes she used to talk about him and his depressed state, because she couldn't actually bring herself to talk about her and her depressed state. She was, to give her a bit of background, she had a older sister and a younger brother. She was the middle child. But she'd always kind of said that she felt that she'd been a little bit overlooked. Her parents had run a pub when she was younger, and it was always busy, or they were always busy. And she kind of felt that she was a little bit neglected, not in a sort of like, you know, brutish way, or a, you know, children's social services way. She just wasn't taken any notice of. And they were quite disparaging of people being anything other than absolutely, you know, tickety-boo, absolutely healthy. So if there was anything, and as I said, she kind of felt like she'd been like this throughout all, you know, most of her life. And was it, you know, sort of like an attention cry? Was it something that she would, these things go on, and it possibly could have been. But if it was, it certainly didn't get the response that she wanted from her mum and dad, because they were just forever, you know, busy with a pub. You know, a lot of attention went on to their old, her older sister, and then there was her, and then there was her kind of younger brother. And again, a lot of attention went on to him. You know, they'd had the girl, they'd got the boy, and she was kind of the one in the middle. That's what she felt. And she just kind of felt that, you know, as I say, they just kind of just didn't really notice her. They neglected her. So when we talked about how she felt about herself, what her beliefs were about herself, she came up with some very, you know, very straightforward, very strong, very rigid statements. She would say things like, well, I'm stupid, I'm dull, I'm ugly, I'm helpless, powerless, I'm failure, I'm unworthy. It took her a little while to kind of get to that one, but when she was kind of spouting out everything, but that was the thing. And that's often a thing that a lot of people that are depressed feel about themselves, that they have a sense of being unworthy. So what were her behaviours? She would then stop doing things, because actually, if I'm going to things like she wanted to get involved in her children's fetes and fairs at school, where they do the fundraising thing. But she would withdraw from doing it because she felt that she wouldn't do it very well. She would do it badly. And it, and because of those predictions that she had about herself, she wouldn't do it. So therefore, that kind of added to her sense of kind of, you know, hopelessness and uselessness. And then that just added to her negative thoughts about herself. So she didn't, you know, and it's always better to do something badly most of the time than nothing at all. You know, that's one of the things about, you know, when you want to fight depression, when you want to kind of get hold of it, that's one of the key things. When we looked at situations, so, you know, say for instance, we'll talk about the fate at school. So when she kind of did, you know, pluck up the kind of wherewithal and the courage to be able to just say, oh yeah, she was available to start helping them, and what could she do? There was the person that she had at kind of contact, and because they were a little bit intimidating, a little bit daunting, a little bit busy, and they didn't return her call straight away, she instantly went into, well, I'm useless and they don't want to know me. But again, you've got to remember, this was tapping into this person not coming back to them because they were busy, tapped into her, you know, her formative experiences, that when she would, you know, ask her mum for help with homework or something like that, no, well, I can't do that, ask so and so because I'm, you know, I'm too busy. And it just kind of had that sense of, you know, worthlessness that was kind of imbued in Tilly throughout her entire life. So what we did when we looked at that situation of the person that she was helping with the fate that didn't come back to them, you know, we looked at an alternative explanation. Not that she was useless and she wasn't going to be needed. What was the alternative explanation for that person not coming back to her? Well, she is busy. You know, that was, you know, the absolute thing about it. You know, she had the children to look after and, you know, a high-powered job, whatever. And she was also taking on, as these people often do, she was taking on running this fate. So, yeah, of course she was busy. And as it turned out, a little, probably a bit too long, really, because it kind of bordered on, you know, a little bit of being rude. But she did come back to Tilly and she was so grateful for somebody offering, rather than having to coerce people. She was so grateful that somebody was actually offering help. And she asked her to do something reasonably important and quite crucial to the whole thing, which Tilly, to begin with, found quite daunting, was easy and ready to just say no, she wasn't going to be able to do it. But she did set herself the challenge of, yes, she will try and do this. But having said to the person, listen, can I kind of have a plan B just in case I can't do this? And somebody else was kind of going to deputise for her. And, the person the organiser said, no, of course, that was absolutely fine. So there wasn't that pressure on her. And as it was, the thing that she had to do, she was kind of supplying, the alcohol for the event, the adults, obviously. And she was able to do that. And she did it really well. And she got so many compliments and plaudits for having done this. It made her feel really good, and she challenged herself, and she was so conscious of the fact that she wasn't going to do it, but she did, and that made, you know, that really boosted her. So it's about challenging. It's about challenging those beliefs you have about yourself. Think about what the alternative is. Replace them. So instead of things like when Tilly used to say, "I'm stupid, I'm dull, I'm ugly, you know, I'm a failure." Well, actually, I'm not stupid. Maybe I haven't kind of got the qualifications other people have, but I'm really good at. And then she was able to list the stuff that she did. She used to work in publishing before she stopped to have children, and she was good at that. She wasn't dull. She had lots of friends that were wanting to be with her and be interested in what she'd done. You know, they used to like to talk about publishing world that she'd worked in. She certainly wasn't a failure, because again, she kind of worked really well. She'd done lots of things. When she started actually looking at them without having the slant of the negative bias, she was actually able to see that she had lots of skills and she had done lots of stuff. And then the other thing we did was that when she was actually kind of coming out of that area of depression, she made a list. We kind of, you know, we looked at her stuff, that the little kind of key things that were indicating that when she was becoming depressed, such as being tired all the time, not really taking much notice of what was going on. She just kind of had this list of about half a dozen things that she gave to her husband, because, I say, remember, he was a very supportive person. She would say to him, listen, if any of this starts happening, please check in with me, because she didn't want to get into that situation again. So, you know, getting the husband to check in with her, is everything okay? No, you know, and she could just be able to say, no, I'm feeling like this, I'm feeling particularly tired because of, everything's fine. And she was grateful for that he was kind of checking in with her, and he was grateful and happy to kind of be able to help her. So she wasn't kind of, you know, dipping into depression again. She had also a chat with her GP again. So if necessary, she had taken antidepressants in the past, but at this particular time that I saw her, she just, there was almost that sense of, I can't be bothered to go and take them because, oh, you know, did they work before? I'm not too sure. I just can't be bothered. So we talked about that she was kind of going to have a chat with her GP to say that if she needed to, could she come along and actually have a chat about, she wasn't depressed at the time, but about the possibility of being depressed. And again, her doctor said that was a really useful thing to do. And also she changed things in her life. Like, one of the things that she would do within her whole family. So she had her siblings and, you know, they had children as well, was that, you know, to kind of be useful, be noticed, you know, not be neglected, especially, you know, kind of by her mum and dad, was that every year without fail that she would offer to organise the whole family Christmas dinner. There'd be 20 of them or so. And she found it such a strain, so stressful, that when she kind of, you know, talked about perhaps not having to do it every single year, she didn't have to be the one. And her family were very supportive of that. They knew what her, the fact that she got depressed, and they were very supportive of that. You know, her sister said, it's fine, we'll split it between us, we'll go out to a restaurant, let me organise it, and, you know, next year we'll give it to the brother. And it wasn't a problem. And all these things that she thought were going to be, because she was having a negative kind of slant on stuff, when she actually started looking at them with a slightly different angle, and that's what we have to do with depression, you have to kind of just look at it with a slightly alternative angle. You know, what is a different explanation for whatever it is, the thing that is making you depressed or making you stressed or making you unhappy? Just try and look at it from a different angle. Because when Tilly was able to do that, and yes, she was getting support, and there is support out there, she just found it just made, you know, it just elevated her mood to such a point that she was able to do much more. And it, again, when people are depressed and they've kind of got a, you know, a lifetime history of it, and you can manage it, and you can manage it for a very long time, self-care is being part of looking after. And remember, she had a list of things that were kind of indicative, and she got this from her husband, because, you know, sometimes he'd say, well, I knew when you were getting low in mood because, and then she was able to add a few things to it. And it was just a really useful thing to have, so kind of have that little checklist. So I've been Dr. Jane. I hope you found this useful. Now, if you want any further help, there's tons out there. Look on the NHS Choices website about depression. And also, you know, there's great organisations that will help. And just have a look on the internet. There's stuff out there for people. So I've been Dr. Jane. This has been a 10-minute positive mental health podcast. I hope you found this useful, and I'll speak to you again soon.